Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Of course, I got Vinny Rondinelli riding with me here in the studio. Vinny, you and I talked about Tuesday last week. We knew it was going to be fun because of the NFL trade deadline. All the big trades happened in the previous 2 weeks. We had one trade today. That was it.
Yeah, it was kind of a dud, but it was interesting. A lot of fun. You know, again, Jordan, we don't get to know, and we never will know, and most guys aren't going to admit how many calls they took today, how many trades were just barely, how close were they?
Yeah,
we're never going to know. We're never going to know how many times John Dorsey called.
I would do anything to sit in a war room one day on draft day or at a trade deadline.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
It doesn't matter if it's basketball, football, baseball. I don't care which sport. It is my life goal.
To sit there next to the general manager.
Just sit there one day or be around the facility one day. I can't imagine. Look, if you're an NFL team, there's 32 teams in the league.
Right.
You had to have taken at least 31 phone calls today.
Oh, absolutely.
At least, right? Because you do your due diligence here.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You're calling everybody.
I'm a fantasy football player. I know on our trade deadline, I'm going to send a text to everybody in my league. You looking to unload anyone? I mean, that's just fantasy football, right?
Oh, yeah.
Millions of dollars.
And these all general managers, it's a pretty small fraternity.
It is.
They know each other.
It is. That's why you see trades among common teams.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like the Rams and Jaguars have now made trades the last 3 years for a reason, right?
Yeah. They have that connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know each other. They're friendly with most each other. So Les Snead today, you're a Rams. Everybody knows you're a Rams guy. Les Snead, how many texts he sent today?
Oh, yeah. He had to have sent. Well, we know he took at least one call.
Yeah, he took at least one call. How many were close? How many times? I'm a Charger guy. How many Tommy Telesco. How many times his phone ring today?
Yeah.
In the last couple days.
Interesting, isn't it?
And we'll never know. They're never going to admit it.
No, I love this business side of it. Speaking of the trades that did go down, and again, you mentioned Les Snead and the Rams have moved on from Aqib Talib. A year and a half, he was in Los Angeles. I remember being thrilled when the Rams made this deal with the Broncos, trading a fifth-round pick for Talib. Thought he played well last year. Obviously, age is a factor. He's on the IR. The Rams will move him to Miami. And in exchange, well, they send Talib at a fifth, and they'll receive a seventh in return for cap space. I thought at the time, Vinny, this came through at about noon, so we had about 2 hours before the deadline. Maybe this is a move to maybe grab Trent Williams. I don't know. This has got to be a move. They didn't make any other move. They literally dumped $4.5 million over to the Miami Dolphins. So the Dolphins paid $4.5 million to move up 2 rounds in this upcoming draft. That's what they did.
Yeah, and you know, if you're the Dolphins or you're a Dolphins fan, you know, it's hard to watch. I get that. But, you know, you and I both agree that it had to be broken down. They are breaking it down. And I believe now, I think at the latest count, I read somewhere today, they have $110 million in cap space next year.
It's a lot of money.
And 12 picks? Is it 12?
I think it's 13, actually.
13 now? Yeah, it could be 13 now. Okay. So if you're a Dolphins fan and you're really into it and you like to draft, you know, or you're a fan like me and you, Jordan, okay? Mm-hmm. You're a diehard fan. Pretty exciting.
It is.
Come February, you're going to be pretty excited to be a Dolphins fan because the entire NFL is at your beck and call.
Yeah,
every free
yeah,
agent.
You hold the keys to the draft.
Every
already.
Free agent. So we know that, you know, here's an interesting point people don't realize is let's look at our teams, right? So if the Chargers or the Rams call a free agent and the Dolphins call a free agent, we're going to have to sell a franchise, a new stadium, franchise quarterback, different. Miami's going to sell. We're in Miami. Our weather's just as good as theirs. But guess what? We don't have income tax like they have. So they're going to have to offer you probably 6-7% more on that contract for you to break even. So you have a lot going on. Florida is a destination for free agents on that reason. Weather, culture, and taxes.
And when you say culture, I take a look at this coaching staff. This is what fascinates me last night when I'm watching this Dolphins-Steelers game, which wasn't great football for quarters. The second half, Pittsburgh showed some signs of life. But that coaching staff is very good. That Dolphins coaching staff is very good. Front to back. It really is.
I believe in that. They're going to get this right.
I do, too.
I really do.
So the Dolphins were really the only, I guess we could say, buyers today, which is crazy to say, right?
It's crazy.
Buyers. But
crazy.
We take a look at some of the other deals that did not go down. We'll start with the Washington Redskins. Trent Williams is one of the bigger names, and I thought somehow, some way, he would end up in Cleveland because where there's smoke, there's fire. This was a constant conversation time and time again. He didn't end up in Cleveland. In fact, he didn't go anywhere. And Vinny, I remember at the beginning of the season, I said, Trent Williams, he'll play by week three. He's going to be in a Redskins.
Yeah,
uniform.
You called. Yeah,
I said by week three.
Yeah, you did.
I was off because I don't know what he accomplished with his holdout. Now, he ends his season-long holdout. He will report to the Redskins now that the trade deadline is gone. Didn't get what he wanted, and he's putting on a Redskin uniform. Okay, now, once we got
past... I just got a buzzer on my phone. He does not intend to play.
But he's reporting.
He's reporting, and he's not going to play.
That's insane. That's insanity.
That's insanity.
What is he accomplished?
So Trent Williams has become one of the most interesting stories in the last... How long? Oh, here it is. He has reported, and update, Trent Williams has no intention of playing this season despite reporting to the team, NBC Sports, 12 minutes ago. It's, so what is that?
Yeah,
what does that even mean?
And if you're the Redskins, you know you took calls on him. You know you did.
Well,
we know we did.
Yeah,
we know
absolutely.
They took calls on him.
They've been taking calls on him since, what, when did this start, August?
Yeah, even before, probably July.
July. Yeah, they've been taking calls since July.
And they decided to hold firm. You know what's interesting about the Trent Williams situation in general? He hasn't said a word during this whole thing. I haven't heard anything from Trent Williams.
No,
he has not said a word. When Melvin Gordon was holding out, we heard from Melvin Gordon, we heard from his agent. I haven't heard anything from anyone on that side for Trent Williams. I don't even know why he's holding out. I don't know why.
But yeah, we have, there's speculation and there's things thrown around. He has never come out publicly and said why he doesn't want to be a Redskin.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the Redskins, you really look poorly in this. You really do have some egg on your face, Jordan. If he doesn't play, which makes it worse, you basically wasted an entire year of his career and got nothing for it.
Got nothing in exchange. Nothing.
So if you're Bruce Allen, you look horrible. You have all that. Your record stinks in Washington anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Your record as a general manager, as a front office executive, when you look back at Tampa Bay and Oakland, is horrible. And here you are. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of good things to say about Bruce Allen.
Does it kind of reek of what happened in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell?
It's just horrible.
Somewhat. I mean, neither side has won in this whole deal.
No.
And you know what? We may never see Trent Williams play again.
I don't think. I called it this. He's never playing for the Redskins again. And I still believe it.
We'll talk about some of the other teams in the trade deadline today. Another one I do want to talk about is the New York Jets. They traded Leonard Williams yesterday, and I thought that they did okay in that deal.
Absolutely.
They got a third-round pick. I believe they got a 5-2, if I'm not mistaken.
Third and a 5, and he's a good football player.
He's okay. He's
going
to get paid.
Player. Yeah, he's a good football player.
But here, they weren't going to pay him, Vinny. They weren't going to pay Leonard Williams, so they moved on from him, and they got something for him, right?
Which makes sense. But again, you know, with the Jets, it's just deja vu. They're back in the top all the time. So now, they had Leonard Williams as a good football player, a solid football player. So what do? You draft a clone in Quinnen Williams. So you wasted Leonard Williams' pick. So you took him with the number 6 pick, and you get a third and a fourth back. But
this
you
is
Jordan,
to,
that's you're the Jets suck.
Well, this is why I want to talk about the Jets today, because we can get into the Sam Darnold, because as you pointed out, every player on that roster outside of Quinnen Williams
and Sam Darnold
were available for trade today.
They were available.
In fact, it was reported that they were trying in the last minute to find a home for Le'Veon Bell. Adam Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell.
They
fired their general manager after the draft. They spent a lot of money on C.J. Mosley.
He hasn't played.
They spent a lot of money on Anthony Barr. He backed out. At first, he was like, okay, yeah, this sounds great. Then he took a step back and he looked at the writing on the wall and said, I'm good. Never mind. I'm out.
I'm
going to go back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So it's a mess right now in New York. And this is where it's interesting, because we were talking about the Dolphins stripping it down and doing it the right way. with a new direction, with a new head coach and a new general manager, I don't think the New York Jets can afford to have loyalty to Sam Darnold. I don't believe they can afford to have loyalty to Sam Darnold. And the reason I say this is because you have new direction completely. It's a dumpster fire right now. What's going on there? You spent all this money in the offseason. Dolphins are going to have $100+ million, right?
Right, right.
The Jets had all this money in the world this past offseason. We knew the Jets were going to be a powerhouse in free agency, and we knew the Colts could have been a powerhouse.
Could have been, and they weren't.
They weren't. The Colts right now have a winning record. The Jets spent money recklessly, got rid of their general manager, wasted a draft. Now they have Adam Gase. So I don't think Gase is going anywhere. I don't think his job's in danger. I don't know.
Honestly, with the Jets, would you be surprised?
Yes, I would. At this point, I would.
You really would?
I would.
Okay, so if they finish 3-13, let's say they finish 3-13, they fired Adam Gase, you'd be surprised?
I'd be shocked.
Now, I wouldn't at all. In fact, I don't expect him to be back. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jordan. I'm calling it now. I don't expect Adam Gase to be the coach here next year.
Let me tell you why I think Adam Gase is there for at least the next 3 to 4 seasons. Because he is publicly, there's public record of this guy saying he did not want Le'Veon Bell, right? That was their prize free agent pickup. And he openly tried to move him at the deadline. You were giving your head coach a whole lot of say for some prize pieces that you have on that team to not have him in your long-term future. This guy is making personnel decisions right now on a team that's horrible, that has assets. He has to be in your long-term future.
I wouldn't be shocked. In fact, I would believe that the Jets looking at this, Woody Johnson or somebody's going to say, look, your football operations are, pathetic. Let's use the word pathetic, okay, Jordan? I got better words for that, but we can't say that on the air. Okay, pathetic. Okay, somebody's going to come in and say, look, the Bills have improved, okay? The Bills have improved. Right now, they're 5-2, but that franchise is trending upwards. We can agree.
The Buffalo Bills
are trending upwards. The Dolphins come in and said, look, the Patriots have owned us. They have beat us down. They've embarrassed us. So we're going to steal from them and copy them. So they're going to tear that down, find guys they want, use free agency and draft picks, signing their own stars, and we're going to model the Patriots. They're trying to do that. What are the Jets doing? Nobody knows.
Well, no, and you have to
I would think, though, that someone's going to come in and say, look, you guys are a joke.
But they got a new
general somebody
manager
to run your football operations and start there. Yeah. And if they bring in a football czar, as they want to call it, a new general manager and vice president of player personnel, he's going to come in and say, okay, I'm in charge. Everything you did, I want to wipe it off the books and do it my way. And Adam Gase may not be the guy he wants there.
I just don't think they've given this current regime a first shake.
I don't believe that either.
They didn't even have a draft.
I agree with you, but I believe that the Jets are pathetic. And I believe the front office of the Jets and the Cincinnati Bengals are pathetic. And I think they're peewee teams compared to the other NFL franchises. That's how I see it right now.
We will talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. It is a big night for Major League Baseball because it could be the final game of the 2019 season. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we get the Nationals and the Astros. Houston has won 3 consecutive games. The road team has won every single game in this series up to this point.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Something, right?
Yeah.
We had this big debate about Major League Baseball and how they awarded home field advantage off of who won the All-Star game. And this was insanity. You can't do that. You have to give it to the team with the best record. It doesn't matter who wins the All-Star game. Here we get to the World Series, and the road teams won every game. Tonight, 6:07 start time of this one. I do believe tonight is the final game. This is how I've changed my opinion on the World Series. Going into it, I thought Houston would win. Washington takes game 1. I said, it's over in 5. Houston's going to win the next 4. Washington wins game 2. I had a couple of people say, you changing your opinion on this? Obviously, they can't win it in 5. I said, you're right. Houston wins it in 6. I have not bought into the fact that the Washington Nationals are going to win the World Series. Since that point, Houston's now won 3 straight. I think they end it tonight. When you take a look at Verlander against Strasburg, you know, we talk a lot about Clayton Kershaw and his struggles, right, in the postseason. Justin Verlander, you know what his record is in the World Series? And you're not even a big baseball guy.
I'm not even a huge baseball guy.
But you know
guy.
Justin Verlander, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
0-5 in the World Series.
And his ERA in the first 2 innings of the World Series is
horrible.
It's absolutely awful. It's like 11-6 or something.
It's
something
terrible.
Incredible.
But he's on the mound tonight. I think he gets it figured out. I think the Astros get the win and the Major League Baseball season comes to a close tonight. Here's a big story stepping away from baseball, and we can talk about college sports here for a moment. I'm a big college football guy. We talked a lot of college football on the show yesterday. Vinny, this is monumental. The NCAA has now cleared the way for athletes to profit from names, images, and likeness. I almost believe the NCAA didn't have any choice here. Their hands almost been forced, but the top decision makers voted unanimously today to start the process of modifying its rule to allow college athletes to profit for their name and images. Okay, so I've been I'm very, very much on the side of saying you cannot pay college athletes. I don't believe you can do that because, listen, they get paid.
They get paid.
I don't care what anybody tells me. And if you don't believe college athletes get paid, and I've had this conversation with college athletes, I've had this conversation with people around the college sports world as well. If you don't like it, it's really simple. Don't play. Nobody is forcing you to play.
Yeah. Don't play.
Parents come out and say on the national level that their kids were treated like slaves. Okay, then don't play.
Nobody
is forcing your kid to play college sports.
Pay for his education out of your pocket.
That's what I had to do. That's what you had to do. We know what that's like, right? And I've also worked around college sports long enough. When I was at Southern Utah, I laugh when Shabazz Napier, who was the point guard for UConn, says that he went to bed hungry. If Southern Utah is feeding their players after road games, there's no way UConn, starting point guard, Shabazz Napier, first round draft grade,
He ain't hungry.
Yeah, right. That kid, am I calling him a liar? Yes, I'm calling him a liar.
Yep.
Yes, that kid is not going to bed hungry. I will have this argument all day, all night. I'll argue with anyone on this. With that being said, this is the right way to go. A kid should be able to make money off his image and likeness.
Correct.
I don't believe that's being compensated to play that sport. It's not. It's really not. It's a marketing thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a marketing regime. So should, I don't know, Trevor Lawrence, right? Trevor Lawrence cannot go to the NFL for 3 years. He has to play 3 years of college football. This kid was on the top of the world. He was at the top of the college football world last year. Would have been the number one pick in the NFL draft. He would have been.
Right. Absolutely.
Should he be able to make money off his likeness? Jersey sales? Because when you watch a Clemson game, you see Trevor Lawrence jerseys in the stands. They just don't say Lawrence on the back of them because they can't. Yes, he should be able to profit from that. Absolutely. To me, that's different than Dabo Sweeney telling a kid, here's 200 grand, come play football for me. It's completely different.
It is completely different. And they get paid a lot of money. You're exactly right. For a college athlete, especially a major college athlete, to say they don't profit from their athletic ability, that's just flat garbage.
Yeah, they do.
They profit a lot.
Yes,
because we paid for our school, Jordan, and it's not that cheap.
No, it's not.
So that's an argument that just, for me, I laugh at people and say, I'm not even going to get into that with you. That's just tomfoolery. Now, you're going to have an issue now of, how do you regulate this?
That's different.
How do you regulate this? Trevor Lawrence can say, well, you're making money off my jerseys. Well, Dabo Sweeney and you playing at Clemson and the offense you're in, the guys blocking for you make you pretty good, pal. So how much of that belongs to the university?
It's true, too.
Yeah, you got a real issue on your hands on how you're going to market this. Leave it to California to start this mess with the, we're going to pay our athletes. You know, they started this. Gavin Newsom signing into it. But that's political. But you know where I'm going with this.
Absolutely. They forced the NCAA's hand.
They forced the NCAA's hand. Now the NCAA is saying, okay, well, we're going to do something. But when does it stop?
You know, the board members said in a release today that all changes will make sure that student athletes have the same opportunities to make money as all other students, maintain their priorities of education and their college experience. Yes, but when you're a student athlete, you have benefits that a
student
medical major does not necessarily
just your regular
get.
Student,
right.
Yes.
Right. So it is tricky. Again, I don't have a problem with this. I think that you should be able to make some money off of your likeness and your image. I know we had Ed O'Bannon here on the show, and Ed O'Bannon was talking about the fact that he could go into a college bookstore, he could see his jersey up, kids are buying him, he's not making any money off of it, but the reason they're buying him is because it's his number. Now, I can attest to that as a kid. You wanted a Brady Quinn jersey when he was in college, right? You wanted a Matt Leinart jersey, a Reggie Bush jersey. Didn't have their name on the back of it, but you wanted one because it was their number at that particular time. So I agree. I think it's a step in the right direction. Let's break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. Again, it's a Tuesday edition of the show. We'll talk more NFL, go over the trade deadline, and take a look at Week 9, which is straight ahead, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studio. Football Tuesday. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, the NFL trade deadline has come and gone. We talked about that in length during the intro to the show. Now let's have a conversation about winners and losers as far as the trade deadline is concerned. I'm going to throw teams out there to you, and you tell me if they were winners or losers.
Okay.
Okay?
Love it.
New England Patriots, winners
winner.
Or losers?
Winner. The rich get richer. They like that type of player. He just fits for Bill Belichick. He's a Rutgers guy, multiple positions, versatile guy, tough guy. Love the Sanu pick. Michael Bennett thought he was going to throw his weight around in New England and tell people what he was going to do. Well, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think they got rid of a guy that didn't fit the mold, and they got a guy that did, and it cost them
a
second round pick, and they gained a sixth back. Was it a sixth for Bennett?
I think it was a six or a seven.
Yeah, okay, a sixth-round pick.
Here's the thing when we talk about the Patriots. Any other team gives up a two for Sanu, and we're sitting here saying, what
are they doing?
Were they thinking?
What were they doing?
Right? They lost.
Yeah.
The Patriots are the only team in the NFL that can give up draft picks, and we sit here and say, that's stupid.
Yeah. Belichick sees players differently.
He does.
It's obvious, and he valued Sanu, and he's the greatest football coach to ever, you know, ever live, so why go against his opinion?
Yeah, I think they win.
I think they win. I love what they did.
Now, time will tell, because I'm now going to be placing Sanu's production up against what Josh Gordon gave us in the form of averages the rest of the season. So here's the thing. Sanu's production, he has to outproduce Josh Gordon and the value of a second-round pick.
Well, not necessarily, Jordan, because like you always tell me, availability trumps ability. So Gordon's not there all the time.
Yeah, he has been this year.
But in the last 5 years, how many games he played?
Well, that's true.
So I think with Belichick is, hey, availability trumps ability.
Well, they're going to win a Super Bowl right now. That's what they're doing. They're going to win a Super Bowl right now. Yes, you know, again, we're going to have to play the law of averages with Josh Gordon the rest of the way. But the value of a second-round pick, you know, everything is market set from the previous year in the NFL. We can agree on that, right?
Right.
So I'm going to go back a couple of years. Cleveland Browns paid $15 million for a second-round draft pick when they executed that trade with the Houston Texans for Brock Osweiler.
Correct.
They paid $15 million. We just watched the Dolphins today pay $4.5 million for a fifth-round pick. And they gave up a seven in that deal as well. So keep that in mind when we're looking
absolutely.
At Sanu in the second-round pick. I agree with you. I do believe the Patriots won. I definitely don't think they lost. You got a 42-year-old quarterback, or however old Tom Brady is right
137
now.
137 years old.
He may be. I don't know. The guy's unbelievable. You try to win now.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You don't worry about the future.
Yeah.
You try to win right now. Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Ravens' day could have gone a little bit different, because I know there was talk about Jamal Adams going to Dallas. But from all reports, it sounds like Baltimore was a lot closer to landing Jamal Adams than the Dallas Cowboys were.
Oof.
And this was a team that went out and got Marcus Peters, and I think that's a rental. I don't believe they pay Peters in the long term. But Peters doesn't have to play man-to-man anymore. He can play zone, and that's where he really excelled when he was in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
This is why. He can do that in Baltimore, and we've already seen return on that investment, right? Return on that trade already. You add Jamal Adams to that secondary, and the Ravens look pretty scary. So do the Ravens. Do they win or lose?
Depending on what, you know, how that fell apart, you know, boy, Jamal Adams looked good in Baltimore, wouldn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's scary. I still think they won because they have a market, and you don't want to overpay. You don't want to get desperate. You still don't know. I don't believe they know what they have in Lamar Jackson. I don't think anybody can tell me they do. The guy's played less than one full season of NFL football, really. And he really didn't do well ending the year and in the playoffs last year. Now, is he better this year? Absolutely. So we'll see. But I do like the Peters pick. They can handle personalities like Marcus Peters. I'm not a fan of Marcus Peters, but Baltimore has shown the propensity to handle personalities. Harbaugh has done a good job of that locker room. So I think it's a good fit. The way they want to play defense, I like it.
I think Baltimore,
it's a winner. They didn't give that much. I mean, what'd they give up? A backup linebacker and a fifth-round pick, I believe, right?
Okay. Right.
Jimmy Smith's getting older. He's got some injury issues. They really like Humphrey. They needed some help there with the injuries they've had. So I think Baltimore won. And I think they won not giving up too much for Jamal Adams, because here's a guy that's, you know, he's talked a lot of, he's brought a lot of attention to himself for not really doing all that much to help his team win. Do I think he's a good player? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I do believe the Ravens won as well. Didn't give up a whole lot to get Peters. It's a dynamic to the defense they didn't have.
Yep, they wanted it.
And again, everything is scheme. Everything is scheme driven, right? He cannot play man-to-man. He can't. He can't play man-to-man. He's going to get burned. We've saw it time and time again. He can't play zone.
He can't play zone. And he can track the ball.
He can track the ball. That's exactly right. So, yeah, I think they win there. The San Francisco 49ers, winners or losers?
Absolutely winners. Home run.
Yeah.
I think they hit a home run.
Yeah.
This is a team that, you know, when firing on all cylinders, looks really good. And they're going to get stronger. This is a team that's really building for the playoffs, and I like how they're going with it. They're taking the best available players. You know, let's go back to Nick Bosa, okay? They drafted Solomon Thomas with the third overall pick, I believe it was, correct?
Yeah.
Third overall pick.
It was.
Best player on the board last year was Nick Bosa. They knew it, you knew it, I knew it, everybody knew it. So what they do?
He was the best player
they
on the board in general.
They drafted the best player on the board.
Can we agree he should have been number one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They got the best player on the board with a number two pick.
And they knew they had a number, the third pick in the draft at that position, and guess what? They improved anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And to top it off, they decided they were going to send a second-round pick for Dee Ford, who's helped out.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've been aggressive. I love what they're doing. Shanahan is an offensive guru. We can agree on that. Maybe the best play caller in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're going to get stronger, too, because not only are they adding Emmanuel Sanders, but we brought this point up. Juszczyk comes back.
Yeah.
McGlinchey comes back. Staley comes back.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they hit December, they should be at full strength. And they may be 9-1 at that time.
It's possible.
Excuse me. 9-3, 9-10, 2.
I would be shocked if they don't win the division at this point. I would be surprised.
Absolutely. I think they're going to run away with it.
Yeah, it would surprise me.
No, and so, and a point you brought up to me a couple times is, you got a guy raw talent wise in Jimmy G that, you know, Bill Belichick was going to keep over Tom Brady.
And he hasn't played that well.
And he hasn't played great.
No.
So if he catches fire and he's lights out, how good could they be?
Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, they, I mean, this seriously. Team, if Jimmy G plays to what Bill Belichick thought he was going to be, they could win this. They could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, again, I love it. Home run, winners.
And I think, considering that both the Rams and the Seahawks were a close competition with the 49ers.
Absolutely,
they're close competition. Absolutely. They made moves in the secondary. What did the Niners do?
Add a receiver.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
add a receiver.
To every action,
and
there's a reaction, right?
Opposite reaction. So I love the Niners right now, Jordan. I really do. I love them.
The Rams, winners or losers?
You know, I agree with you in winners. You're a Ram homer.
I'm going to say they're winners.
You're a Ram homer. I've always liked the Rams.
But I can be realistic.
Absolutely. You're a great fan.
And so,
on both ends of this,
they're winners.
Me and you, I play devil's advocate with you the same way you do with me on the Chargers. Is you're going to say you're a winner because maybe the best cornerback in the NFL is on your roster now.
Yeah.
Okay. The devil's advocate, the first question I asked you was, how do you restock your cupboard when you don't have any draft picks? Because the Rams keep giving them up. They're trying to hit that home run.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, winner, no doubt. I think Jalen Ramsey's a player, and I think they can. Wade Phillips has another one. He's shown an act to control guys that are outlandish. That's the word I'll use. He has personality. Jalen Ramsey has personality.
Well, he fits the scheme again.
And Wade Phillips can handle tough personalities, which we've seen in the past.
Well, that's why they brought in Marcus Peters in to keep the lead.
Absolutely.
Right?
Wade Phillips can handle him. This guy's incredible as far as football player goes. So, for me, winners. There's no doubt about it. I like what they're doing, and they're taking a chance because they've got to make up ground, Jordan. They really do. They're behind the Niners right now.
Well, and we've seen an increase in productivity in 2 weeks from that secondary, just with Jalen Ramsey playing
that defense. He changes the game.
He does. He does. He really changes the game. They have their anchor for the long haul. They haven't had a first-round draft pick in close to 5 years now.
Yep. So that's the only downfall you can say. The only argument someone's going to ask Les Snead is, how do you replenish the other areas? I mean, you've talked about those other areas. Now, their cap situation is a little better than both of us thought.
It is.
We looked it up.
There's an idea that it's unsustainable, and it's not.
That's not. We actually did some research, me and you, and found out that their cap space isn't as bad as we thought. So then it was instant win. At that point, we were both like, yeah, it's a win.
By the time the end of next season rolls around, they're going to have all kinds of cap space.
Yeah.
They're going to have $25 million this offseason in cap space. They're going to be okay. The key for the Rams, it's not first-round picks. It's making sure that you can, and again, they got a fifth-round pick from Baltimore.
Right.
They traded one out today in Miami, so they stayed pat. They still have a fifth-round pick, right? It's replenishing your roster with third, fourth, and fifth-round picks.
Yeah, they've got to hit.
Those are the ones that they have to hit.
And they got to hit. And they got to play.
They have to play.
They're going to have to play next year. You're going to have young linebackers and young linemen for the Rams. They're going to have to play next year. So your second, third, fourth-round pick, they're going to get snaps next year. So you got to hit on those.
But they're playing Madden. They're playing franchise mode.
Yeah, they are. They are. But I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Love it. It's a copycat league. And I still believe that the format that we are looking for the Rams is an extension of what we saw the Philadelphia Eagles do two seasons ago. It's an extension of that. It's a copycat league. And I think the Eagles were the ones that laid the groundwork for this. And the Rams are now playing off of that. Let's move on. The Cleveland Browns, to me, Vinny, these are big losers here on the trade deadline.
Losers.
The Cleveland Browns have been losers all season. It hasn't worked out. I know a lot of people are now making excuses for Odell Beckham. I'm going to tell you right now, quit making excuses for this guy. He hasn't played well. He's not changing the dynamic of the game at all. He has not made life any easier on Baker Mayfield. And for as big of a pain as Baker Mayfield is, what has the Cleveland Brown organization done to protect him in the pocket? They have done nothing. And it goes back to the offseason move that I've now brought up 3 weeks in a row when they made the trade for Olivier Vernon. They've done nothing to protect their asset in Baker Mayfield. Nothing.
Absolutely. And they show no discipline at all. They're a madhouse.
None.
And
might have something to do with the lack of experience from their head coach, maybe.
Maybe. And everything's on fire in the kitchen in Cleveland right now. Yeah, losers. Absolutely. They didn't make any moves. I don't know what moves they were going to make, but they didn't. I just don't like the way this team's set up. I really don't. I could see this one spiraling.
Throw one more team out there, then we'll take a break and come back and talk about individuals. The Eagles, winners or losers. This is the biggest disappointment to me of the year up to this point.
They look good Sunday, though. They beat a good Buffalo team. They're starting to get healthy.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what this team is. They embarrassed themselves in Dallas 2 weeks ago and then beat a good Buffalo Bill team. It's a team that's really, they won a Super Bowl and came real close to getting back to it. You just don't know. I think, and let's be honest, the NFL is a very, we had this conversation, but parity does exist. It's a tough league week to week, and injuries do matter.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
There's a reason a guy starts, and the reason you lose a game by 2 points, 3 points, is probably the second and third string guy playing. And the Eagles have had a lot of injuries, so I honestly don't know. I would say,
but their secondary's not good.
No,
and they
I think
you
stand pat.
Take a look at.
But
some
did
of the
they
secondary.
Did they make a call? Did they call?
Yeah, but
I mean, it was reported they called Denver for a week, trying to get Chris Harris. What was the price?
You at some point in time, I think this is going into the season. I thought this was the most talented roster in the NFL. Buffalo's a bad matchup, right? Because Buffalo doesn't strike fear into any secondary. I'm gonna look at the variables that we can consider in this Buffalo team, right? Does Buffalo, they strike fear into any secondary in the NFL?
No.
The Eagles needed secondary help. Okay, Chris Harris was available. Jalen Ramsey was available. We've seen all kinds of different players in the secondary. Marcus Peters obviously was available. Aqib Talib was obviously available. I don't know that Talib plays, but I'm just throwing some names out there. They didn't do anything to help secondary.
And, we had this conversation off the air, Jordan. We don't know that. Did Howie Roseman call on all three? Did he call in all three?
But at some point, okay, what's the asking price? At some point in time, if you believe
there's probably 28 NFL teams, Jordan. Oh, let's be honest. There's probably 28. I'm going to guess here. But I would bet 28 of the NFL teams saw Ramsey's asking price. So there's no way we're going to pay that.
Well, they dropped back on it, though. The original asking price was 2 ones and a 2, and they dropped back to 2 ones and a 4.
But there were still 20. I bet you there's 28 teams right now that said, I'm not giving that up.
If I'm the Eagles, I do it in a minute. If I'm the Rams,
that's a lot of capital.
If I'm the Chiefs, I do it in a minute.
So that's a lot of capital. So we don't know the cap situation there. I agree with you you would like for them to make the secondary move. But did they call? Did they call on Peters?
I would think.
It was reported they've been calling on Harris for a week. What was the asking price? Did Elway
Price himself out.
That's
possible. We got to get out for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the individuals that were not moved. One of them, at the top of that list, would be your Melvin Gordon. And we'll talk about that when we come back here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports Football Tuesday, talking about the deadline, the trade deadline that never was. Yes, it had its moments of excitement today. I got excited when I saw the possibility of Le'Veon Bell moving to the Houston Texans.
I laughed.
I did too.
I actually laughed.
I thought it was somewhat hilarious. With that being said, there were some big names that were not moved, and we talked about Trent Williams.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen with this. It's a really, really weird saga, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. But let's talk about Melvin Gordon. Biggest name that I expected to be moved that wasn't. Okay. NFL player holdouts seem to be working for the most part. Two names I just mentioned didn't work.
Did not work
for Le'Veon Bell, and it did not work for Melvin Gordon. Where does that leave the Chargers?
Tough spot, in a real tough spot. I was surprised. Last night they fired Ken Whisenhunt, the offensive coordinator. I was not a fan of that call. Again, you know, me and you are not normal fans, Jordan. We spend a lot of time watching, rewatching. We're not just your casual fan. I would have to assume for the Chargers that there's probably been some talk with Gordon, maybe in talking contract, that he's figured out that he's not worth what he thinks he's worth. Maybe for the Chargers, they think that they can re-sign him at the end of the year is one possibility for a deal that is not cap hazardous, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that they let him walk and somebody gives him money and they get a comp pick for him, stealing the Bill Belichick page, where they just get a compensatory pick for him. Hopefully he signs for a lot of money and they get a third-round pick for him in the draft afterwards. But I'm shocked they didn't move him. And it says to me, for the Chargers, it really does. I believe that nobody called or made him a serious offer. I really do, Jordan. I don't think anybody called. And I find it hard to believe that Tommy Telesco didn't get a call that said, hey, we'll give you a second-round pick for Melvin Gordon. He said no.
Well, yeah, because as you and I were just talking about during that last commercial break, Chargers are probably going to get a third-round compensatory pick for him, right? So you're not going to trade him for a four.
No.
Why would you do that?
So I think the offer was probably third or above, and I don't think anybody called and offered it to him. I really don't. And we're seeing that in the market today. Again, me and you have had multiple conversations about Gurley. David Johnson's not playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell's not worth the money he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk the top three paid running backs in the NFL right now.
Ezekiel Elliott, has he really lived up to the billing of that contract?
He's a younger guy. Maybe
he's not much younger than Gurley.
That's true. But, you know,
I'm not saying
so three out of the four, let's just say three of the four then. Let's say three of the four top paid running backs in the NFL right now.
It's failed.
Teams have failed. So Gordon's holdout failed. He admitted it last week. He said, I shouldn't have held out and missed training camp. It's hurt them. He cost the team a game. He cost the Chargers a game 2 weeks ago in Tennessee. His fumble lost the game for the Chargers. So very interesting situation. So I don't know. You know, I follow them and I don't have the answer to that. My honest opinion is, and again, we talked about this off the air, and to start the show, wouldn't it be great to be a GM to hear some of the things that get talked about? How many calls did Telesco take on Gordon?
I got to be honest with you. Well, it'd be fun to sit and watch the GMs at work. I don't know if I'd want to be an NFL GM. Oh, my gosh. The pressure is coming from
that.
Hey,
I mean, just to follow him around for a day.
Yeah, how many nights as Tommy Telesco had over the past 2 months.
Absolutely. I don't know. So this is an interesting situation. I was expecting him to be moved. I was hoping that he'd be moved. The Chargers, I was hoping they'd move on from that. I think that Melvin Gordon's caused some damage in that holdout in that locker room, honestly. But, again, Anthony Lynn backed him up, and he's vowed to earn back the trust of the fans. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make one point, and I don't want to get too far off base here, but what you just said, he's caused a rift in that locker room, and I believe he has.
I believe he has, too.
I believe he has. And that's kind of unfortunate, right? Because and the reason I say that's unfortunate, Vinny, is because when a player leaves an organization, it's a business, right?
Yeah.
when a player leaves an organization and he goes to a new team, it's a business. At least that's what they like to portray on Twitter or in the interview. You know, I loved where I was at, but this is a business. Mm-hmm. This made business sense for me. It made sense for my family, right? When a team trades a player that wants to play, such as Jamal Adams, he claims he wanted to stay in New York. They tried to trade him. The team would say, it's a what?
It's a business.
Players within that locker room need to understand that it is a business.
It is a business. It is a business.
And it's hard. It's a hard concept.
It is. It is.
It is a hard concept.
Because you're
concept.
Trying to preach family. You're trying to preach that's your team. Yeah. It's your brothers. It's your family. And the team's different than the front office. And there's got to be a separation there that they're running a business, but you're in here fighting with your brothers. And I believe he did cause a rift.
And you know what's unfortunate? And I would like to ask, I'm not an agent. I'm not going to sit here on this show and act like I'm an agent. I'm not going to pretend to know more than what I do on this show. But I would like to speak to Melvin Gordon's agent and say, okay, you're in the second largest media market in the country playing for the Chargers, who are dismal as far as, well, performance on the field has not been good.
Yeah. No, they haven't.
Fan attendance has not been good.
Nope.
If you want to bet on yourself, don't hold out. Go out there and perform. Because that market is yours for the taking, right? There's no skill position player in Los Angeles right now that I look at and say, that's the guy that's going to lead that Los Angeles market. Would have been Todd Gurley, but that's out the door now.
That's out the door.
Melvin Gordon, if he wants to bet on himself rather than holding out, he could have taken that L.A. market, Vinny.
Absolutely.
He really could have.
He could have.
How much would that be worth? I don't know. I would like to ask his agent.
Especially with Gurley not playing.
Exactly.
He could have been the hottest running back. And last year, he was a dominant football
player. He was very
good.
You know why he wasn't the king of the L.A. market? Because Todd Gurley was very good.
Very good.
Going into Week 13, Todd Gurley probably was a front runner for the MVP, and the Rams went to the Super Bowl.
The Rams went to the Super Bowl. And the Chargers had a little momentum. They won 12 games, and Gordon was pretty dominant. You know, he said in an interview that it was his idea to hold out, that his agent advised against it, and yeah, he made a poor decision. He just flat out made a poor decision, and it cost him a lot of money, Jordan.
Yeah, if that's true, shame on Melvin Gordon.
Because shame on Melvin
Gordon.
Because
pay your agent a percentage to give you
market, good advice,
yeah,
and you didn't follow it.
And you didn't
if
take
that's
it.
True, you're right. If that's true, you didn't follow the advice, and you cost yourself a lot of money. Now, do you think Gordon's worth... Knowing what you know now, looking back, this we're midway through the season. Okay, the Chargers were 3-5. Did he help his cause at all?
He didn't help his cause. He didn't help his team's cause with Melvin Gordon.
And he lost money. Now you're
they may be 4-4 if they have Melvin. Maybe 5-3 if they have Gordon. Maybe.
Yeah, probably 6-2.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, has his money? Has his value gone up?
No,
absolutely not. His value's gone down.
Absolutely.
So he cost himself money this year. And every year moving forward.
He cost the team a lot of money.
And he cost himself
a lot of money.
So Melvin Gordon, and he admitted it, and he blew it, and it's tough. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. And you're right. If that's true, shame on him for not listening to his agent.
There's a lot of money to be lost there, and Melvin Gordon's
he lost a lot of it. Oh, boy, did he lose a lot of it.
And again, fall from grace, Le'Veon Bell, same situation. You know, I sit back, and the Le'Veon Bell deal makes me sad, and I'm running out of time, so I'll get to this point really fast. The Bell deal makes me sad because the Steelers are a shell of them, of their former self, really. It's not a good football team.
No.
We saw this last night. They're not good. They're not. Le'Veon Bell looks like a shell of his former self. The two situations remind me of one another, except we're seeing Melvin Gordon in a Charger uniform. We didn't see Le'Veon Bell in a Steeler uniform.
Yep.
Nobody won in the Le'Veon Bell deal. Nobody's going to win in this Melvin Gordon deal.
Absolutely not. And running backs in the NFL now are cringing because we've seen it fail. Big money to the running backs fail.
It's a good thing Todd Gurley got his guarantee.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he got
And the Rams,
guarantee.
And let's be honest, is Les Snead regretting it right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's regretting it right now. The way, not giving Todd Gurley money, the way he structured that money, the Rams regret the way they structured that money to Gurley. The Cardinals regret giving it to Johnson.
Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. Out of time on this edition of the show, Football Tuesday. Sometimes an hour is just not enough.
Oh, never enough.
Vinny, it's always great to get you in. I look forward to it again next Tuesday.
Okay, buddy. Love it.
That's going to do it for us. Coming up next, it's NASCAR Live right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's Drive Time Sports. Be safe. We are out.